Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Here's the Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
Unbelievable teammate, unbelievable friend.
I'm going to tell my kids about this guy. I'm going to tell my grandkids about this guy. He's a legend. He's somebody that should be in the same conversation with the greats. He's the best player I've ever played with.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Forte picks up another first down and more. He is inside the 10 and will take it in for a Bears touchdown, 32 yards.
That's the whole package right there. We talked about the patience before. Now just the vision.
Matt Forte, 32 yards of excellence.
One of the 100 greatest Bears of all time.
And with that, on his 273rd touch, is now joined Walter Payton with 1,000 rushing yards and now 500 receiving yards. The only two Bears.
The NFL is what have you done for me lately? You know, everybody is always looking for the next best thing.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
It is the case. Matt Forte joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Second all time in rushing in Bears history. And we get to talk football with him every single week here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Matt, we are so excited that you're going to be a part of the team with us, man. It's great, and thank you so much for being a part of it.
You know what, guys? It's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this team. I'm excited about this. I haven't been on a team in a long time, and it's good to be back, Holmes, with you and Spiegel. You know, it's good to be back with you guys.
We appreciate you, man.
That's awesome, Matt. Love that you said that. Yeah, the four of us on this show feel like a team, and to be able to welcome you in is really cool. And I love that you and Lawrence have this wonderful pre-existing relationship from your time doing television together at NBC Sports Chicago. And Lawrence always used to talk about how he enjoyed watching games with you and being able to talk ball with you. So we're thrilled, man. Like, what was your setup last night? Were you home to watch that game? And we've been waiting for this one a long, long time. Looking forward to the opener, Matt.
Yeah. I was set up at home, in the basement watching the game. And reason being, because I wanted to go to my daughter's volleyball game. So I went to that first and then was able to catch the game. I know it was alumni weekend and stuff like that, but you know what? Family first. I am a family man. So I ended up watching the game. It's a school night too. You know, look what I've turned into. Big, you know, all those accolades and those people saying nice things about me on the intro was funny because I'm such a family man now. I'm a changed guy. So, but I was holed up in the basement watching the game and just chilling in the basement.
So what did you take away from what you saw? And how, what were the things that stood out to you?
Man, a lot has stood out, man. You know what? First, I'll talk about defense. What stood out to me is how important the three guys that were missing are to the defense. And Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, and then T.J. Edwards. Man, I mean, you can see that they were missing out there because they started off nice, which defense usually starts a little faster than offense, but you know, late in the game in the fourth quarter, we gave up three touchdowns. That's not something that we should be doing at all. But also, it's just when it comes to Bears defense, especially at home, we can't give up, you know, touchdowns like that. But then when it came to offense, man, I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson. I'm a big fan of Caleb Williams. But again, it just seemed like Caleb's scrambling a lot and he's running for his life again. And when the pocket was clean in the first half, I mean, I think the stats were that he was 13-16. And then Brian Flores turned up the heat and started blitzing in the second half a lot more. And, you know, the completions went down. I think he was 8 for 19. And that is something that we have to deal with, because defenses and defensive coordinators will take and watch film and realize, okay, when we turn up the heat and blitz, you know, the stats and the execution goes down. But one thing that, other than those kind of things that we can control and that we can fix, something that has to get fixed immediately is pre-snap penalties. We had way too many pre-snap penalties, and that's the type of stuff that you see in preseason that you got to get worked out immediately, because we're already, you know, starting behind the ball.
Matt Forte with us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. In your experience, when you guys had him, when you were playing, who are the pre-snap penalties on? Is it a coaching issue? Is it a quarterback cadence issue? Is it everybody? Is each one its own specific occurrence? What are we dealing with here?
It's everybody. And that can't be cookie cutter where you know everybody on every team is just like that. But at the same time, I think 99% of the time it's everybody. It's on the player, because it's a mental error where mentally you have to be either lined up in the right spot, the cadence has to be the right, you know, call, or you don't jump off sides. You know you're going on two or three, or you're switching the play or switching the call. That's a mental thing on the player. And if it continues, then it's on the coach, because the coach has to really harp on that and teach that and remind guys that this is important. There's a reason, you know, great coaches like, you know, Bill Belichick or so, they didn't have a lot of pre-snap penalties, if at all any, because guys knew, they had the fear in them that I'm going to get cut if I jump off sides, or if I have pre-snap penalties. Like, you're playing hard, you're playing in the game, and you know, you end up getting a holding call or here and there, like stuff like that does happen. But pre-snap, that's just, you know, we're not focusing on what the task at hand, and you know, we got to be better disciplined. I think that's a discipline issue, but it is team wide. It's a team sport, the ultimate team sport, but it's on everybody, coaches, players, all of us.
Matt, when we're watching Caleb and we look at some of the plays, and granted, we didn't have the all 22 view while we're watching the game last night, but it felt like there were open windows for him to make throws down the field. In the first half, he checked it down. The second half, he was forced to check it down in some cases because of what Brian Flores was doing. When you guys go back over games, do you remember coaches telling Jay, for example, like, hey, man, like, the ball was supposed to go here, why didn't you throw it? And then getting Jay's perspective of what he saw on a play, because as I'm watching Caleb, I'm going, man, there seem to be missed opportunities down the field. How do you get a quarterback to take advantage of those?
Well, Jay didn't get questioned a lot, so that was one of our faults. our coaches probably should have, you know, done those things in the meeting just for accountability purposes. But yes, you're right. When I was looking last night and early in the game, it was like almost as if they told him, hey, you know, if it's not there in your first read, check it down. So he checked it down really quickly, and then in the second half was forced to. But then that led to kind of, when your pocket is clean, missing receivers. There were some times where specifically I think DJ was open on the left side of the field going into the end zone late in the game, and he came open and threw his hand up, and it was way too late that he tried to get to him and ended up overthrowing him. So those are the type of things when it comes to timing and being in the right place and not getting antsy back there where you trust your the line, which is hard to do sometimes. But I think when you go back on film, they're going to have to readdress that, and they're going to do some stuff with Caleb to try to fix those things where, you know, you're not back there missing guys that may be open. I think he missed Roma Dunze on a post route by checking it down, because he probably was afraid of the pocket collapsing on him.
That's good stuff, Matt, because I got to tell you, the success early felt connected to the way it got worse late. You know what I mean? Like what you're saying, yeah, he was checking it down and being cautious and careful, but then it felt like it was too cautious and careful. What are some of the things they can do to help him be less antsy back there? That's your word, and I think it's a good one for how that looked, especially in the second half.
I think the remedy to issues like that come through the run game. And that's the one thing that is an integral part of this game that we're missing. There was no really explosive runs besides maybe one or two last night. And the average per carry was, I think, specifically like 3 yards a carry. So we didn't have a run game to keep them honest. So in the second half, they just pinned their ears back and started blitzing. And you can see the results of that. So when you play the game safe and you're checking it down, or you're calling some of the plays that aren't taking shots downfield, you put your offense at risk and your quarterback at risk of not being able to get back there and be comfortable. And an extensive running game, a running game that's dynamic and one that is effective, will mitigate those issues a lot of times. And that wasn't there last night.
Ben Johnson, after the game, said that they never felt in rhythm with the running game, not all on the same page. And he said some of that was on him. So I appreciate him pointing the thumb at that. What did you see, like, schematically? Did it make sense? Did their run attack make sense to you as you watched it? Turns it inside zone, outside zone, or whatever you saw as you're watching?
I think schematically it was decent. I don't think they did anything bad, or he called any bad plays when it came to runs. Like, sometimes I've seen where there's an explosive pass and then we try to do a reverse and lose 10 yards or something like that. It was nothing like that came out of there. I think inside zone and outside zones were called. I would have liked to have seen a couple draws, maybe, to keep them honest on that aspect. I think it honestly is the same thing that has been plaguing the Bears for a long time. And up front, everything starts up front. There was a lot of times where DeAndre got the ball early and he's already trying to dodge somebody in the backfield. He didn't have a lot of creases to cut through and to go through. So I think it comes down to really offensive line and the penetration that was allowed on by the Vikings defensive line, and not really pushing those guys off the ball. They really weren't creating any seams for them to run through. And that has to immediately change in order to have our run game, first of all, be a threat, but to take the pressure off of the quarterback.
Man, look at that. Running back blaming the offensive line. Like, come on.
See, I never blamed the offensive line when I played. I just went out there. So now that I'm retired, I can blame them all I want. You know? It's like, it's them. It's all on them. Everything starts up front. You guys got to get better. Come on now.
We are talking with Matt Forte. Along with being one of the greatest Bears of all time, he's also an author. Two really good books. If you've got kids, the My Hair Can book is excellent. And there's a new book, Stay in the Game, Making the Most of Every Season. So Matt has been diversifying his life after football. It's been one of the sharpest things that I see with him. And so please support him, along with him being on the show. Support him, get the books, share them, give them out as gifts, all of those good things. When it comes to Caleb and getting the most out of what he is as a quarterback, when would you worry? What would be the things that, because this is a new system and it's almost like he's starting over again, what are the things that as a former player you worry about when you're trying to see if a guy's getting to the next level of his ability?
I think I would worry when he's not excited about the mundane of the season, when the wear and the tear and the ups and the highs and the lows, and when there's a lot more lows than highs, and you don't see him getting excited about the passion behind football. That's when I worry, because if it's not in your heart, it's not going to make it to the head. And so it don't matter what system that you're in, there's going to be, you know, bumps and bruises that you got to take those lumps, but then you got to learn from them and keep going after and trying to actually reinvent yourself within the offense. You know, anybody can really have a 1 year wonder, but when defenses scheme against you and they know what you do best and they try to stop you, can you reinvent yourself in a way that is still effective? So I honestly really think that Caleb can make all the throws. I think there's a lot of room to grow still when it comes to the knowledge of understanding defenses and what they do and how to pick them apart, so to speak, when different coverages come your way. And then with the blitz coming, it's been a factor that has been effective against him as a player. So under pressure, yes, he has the ability to escape. He's really elusive, which even last night, this is so funny how he can elude guys in the pocket, because it's almost like he's frantic back there and he's able to just make some of these moves. It's like, wait, how did he even do that? But you don't want your quarterback doing that all the time. But, you know, I think for the most part, to keep it simple, I would get scared when we start throwing a bunch of receiver screens. Because that means, and I can't stand, like, it's third and short and it's like, all right, let's throw a receiver screen and then we lose 7 yards. You don't trust the offensive line at all, or you don't trust your quarterback going throwing the ball downfield. You're just trying to get quick yards. And, you know, defensives know that by now. I mean, it kind of was a trend when I was playing, and I can't stand seeing receiver screens a bunch of times.
Matt Forte, one of the great running backs in the history of the Bears, and that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 yards in 5 of his 8 seasons. In 2 of the others, he had over 800. In one of the others, he was 3 yards shy of 1,000.
Look at the catches.
The catches are outrageous. First of all, it's over 400 receiving yards as a running back in every year of his Bears career, except one. Just like, I remember at the time thinking, all right, man, like, other teams might have their Marshall Faulk or their LaDainian Tomlinson, but we got our Matt Forte, you know? And that was pretty cool. In the open, Matt, we heard the highlight of your first game in Indianapolis on a Sunday night in prime time, and you guys blew up the Colts. You had 123 yards. And so watching that last night, some of those players out there playing in their first game, like J.J. McCarthy and others, what do you remember about that first game of your career on a Sunday night? Bears fans remember it very fondly.
Yeah, it was fun hearing the call from those games and even hearing, you know, some old teammates and Lovey talking about those days. But what I remember from that time, especially being my first game on Sunday Night Football in primetime, was, man, the atmosphere. It's nothing. I don't think anything could recreate that. So the atmosphere first was crazy. And then also I piggybacked off my teammates. You know, a lot of those guys I was playing with played in the Super Bowl 2 years prior against Peyton Manning and the Colts. And just the kind of the mentality and the perspective of going into that game, because nobody was really giving us a chance and they were already, you know, pissed off, you know, going into the game. And so I was like, man, I got to turn it up as well, because these guys are feeling a certain way about how the expectation going into the game is not on our side. And man, it ended up being a great game and, you know, a record setting game. And it was one of those historical moments that even in the time as a young rookie when I was doing it, I had no clue what I was doing. I was just out there playing ball. I knew what I needed to do. I knew the plays. I knew what I had to do. But when it came to the outside stuff, like how big of an accomplishment to come in your first game and to succeed that way, it was just something special. And I'll always remember that as well.
Can you imagine what it was like for J.J. McCarthy, a kid who grew up like watching your specific teams, Matt?
Yeah,
he grew up a fan of you and the guys that you ran with, and then come back to Soldier Field in your first start and then have a fourth quarter like he had. It's got to feel amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be an amazing feeling to be a kid that's from here. You know, his grandfather took him to his first Bears game. I think it was a Bears Vikings game as well. And then you can't even write that any better. Then he plays for the Vikings, and then to have your first start be a comeback win, and you lead your team in that aspect. So that's huge. And shout out to Josh McCown, who's the quarterback's coach over there. He played with us. He's a good friend of mine. And, you know, after throwing a pick six, sometimes your mental can be messed up, but I can tell that Josh probably talked to him over there on the sideline and definitely, you know, got him back in the where mentally, the mental space that he needed to be to lead the team to a comeback. And he kept doing it, and they ended up obviously doing well.
Got to tell you, Matt, that was a very negative experience last night watching that game as a Bears fan. You have helped calm us down.
What he does.
Oh, my God. I feel a sense of serenity. I feel a football serenity with Matt Forte.
You have to understand that the football after show was me,
yeah,
three crazy people, and I say that with love.
Lance Briggs and Alex Brown.
And Olin Krutz.
Oh, three crazy people.
And Matt.
Yeah.
So it was like...
Ooh, so four crazy people.
And Matt.
and so Matt had a heavy lift in terms of serenity.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he was the but I will say that I remember, like it was yesterday when you sit there and you go, oh, here's the kick that's going to propel the Bears on in the playoffs. And Matt had said before, he's like, this game is going to come down to a kick. And he's going to miss that kick. And then when he kicked, I have video of it too. I have a video of like, because Alex and Lance were praying. They were like, they were on the field.
This is double doink you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were praying. And he misses the kick. And Matt looked at me and he was like, told you. Told you that this was going to happen. He's got a lot of these great stories. So as we continue week after week, Matt, we are going to ask you for a lot of the stories, man. We want to know about, because there are still people that are playing or coaching that you played or were coached by in the league. So being able to dip into all of that knowledge is great. We thank you so much for being on the show, and we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Pleasure, guys, man. That was a great first show, and I appreciate you guys having me on the team with you.
That's what I'm talking about. We're glad that you're on the team, too. That's Matt Forte. He's going to be with us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
All right, so you referenced the double doink, and that happens after the 2018 season with Matt Nagy year one, and he gets Coach of the Year and everything. And then that offseason was about as hyped and excited as Bears fandom has maybe ever been.
And then it was an opening night at Soldier Field against a division opponent.
When it was just a fart of a football game. I mean, that opening game against the Packers was like gas being passed in athletic form, and it felt awful.
Grand opening, grand closing.
That's what it felt like.
And did that feel like that last night to people? Did that game have 2019 opener vibes after the double doink? Let's ask the people to check in on that, among other things.
I like that idea. Let's talk with you. 312-644-6767. You heard what Spiegs has to say. You heard what I had to say. You heard what Matt Forte has to say. What do you have to say? What are you feeling right now after watching last night's Bears game? Well, where are the emotions at? And where do you think this team is at? 312-644-6767 is the number. Your calls next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're cooking with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
Here in Chicago at halftime, they honored the Super Bowl 20 champions, 1985. Jim McMahon got a huge roar here tonight. Mike Singletary. I mean, you go on down the list. And a team that Richard Dent. Hampton about to get the Lombardi Trophy.
And what a group that was. I was fortunate not to be drafted until 1989.
He still had to deal with them for a little while. And then the Cowboys exploded and became the team of the 90s. Shout out to my guy, Dan Hampton. Hamp looked great last night.
Hamp looked so strong and thick and healthy.
You talk about incredible genetics. Like that guy. He's got him. He's got him. He's also just, I adore Hamp. So shout out to my guy, Hamp.
Who would come out to see Tributosaurus do a whole night of Tears for Fears? Right? I mean, because my goodness.
Layla just raised her hand. She says she's in.
I've been wanting to do Tears for Fears for a long time.
Then why don't you do it?
I think hopefully we will. Can we go 15, 20 songs deep on Tears for Fears with impunity?
I don't know. I don't need know if you need to do that. I'm thinking 10 might work.
Well, then we need another band. That's the whole thing, because I got to do a whole night.
Extendo versions.
We could do two, you know? We could do like Tears for Fears and In Excess.
Lila says Simple Minds, which is a good call.
Yeah, Simple Minds would be fun. So, you know.
These two Simple Minds are talking about the Bears with you.
Look at that!
312-644-6767 is the number. We've kept you waiting long enough. Let's get it. Joey is in Libertyville. Hey, Joey, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, Joey.
I had a quick thought. Yeah, so I watched a segment with Tom Brady giving an interview, and he had mentioned like one of his superpowers, and among others, like Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, is when they step up to the line of scrimmage, they feel like they know what that defense is running, and they're already in their minds projecting where they're going to go with that ball along with their reads. I just wanted to get your thoughts on where you think Caleb is with his knowledge of defenses in the league and how that might attribute to his success in the future.
I think it's a great point. I think it's very, very low in terms of his knowledge of defenses. I don't think he was taught necessarily very well last year about how to learn that stuff.
Or in college,
that's for sure. And we also don't know how he learns. We don't know what his learning process is on the ins and outs. And that some of those coaches from last year threw around like some very lazy, broad generalizations in that Tyler Dunn piece. But we don't know what kind of a learner he is. He clearly does not walk up to the line with that sense of mastery that the great ones do, but he's very young and some people do grow into this. Conversation for you and me during the breaks, Lawrence, has been all about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, but also Baker Mayfield and Geno Smith.
And Lamar Jackson.
And some quarterbacks get to stay in the spot where they learn. Most do not.
Yeah, usually, I mean, it seems like there's this thing of like you have to kind of go on and move on. It's a bigger topic than us talking about what happened last night, but I feel strongly about it. I feel strongly that the quarterback clock, and maybe that means there should be a different salary cap for quarterbacks, that makes people make dumb decisions. That you might have someone, and I don't know, like I'm not qualified to speak on it. But if you have someone like Caleb, who you think has a chance to be great, is the right choice to play them right away. But there's, if you're a GM or a head coach, you're like, this guy's got to get on the field. Do you make a mistake in not letting them sit and learn? There are examples on both sides of this. Jaden Daniels walked in the door. They built an offense around him. They went to the NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes sat for a year behind a really smart quarterback and a really good guy who coaches quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy sat for a year with an injury, right? Mm-hmm. But he's working with a coach that we all think is great, including Caleb, by the way. These guys, the individuality of each guy and how they learn, what they learn, and what's best for them at the start of their career,
yeah,
it's a crapshoot.
I'm left with, and I know we teased before the break, it feeling similar to 2019. The questions I ended up asking about Mitch were, I wonder if familiarity with the offense and comfort in the scheme and a better understanding can lead to better accuracy. That was my question. And the answer,
I think the answer is yes.
Well, it didn't with Mitch.
But no, you're right. But I think overall, yes.
Well, I have the same question about Caleb after watching last night. The accuracy issues are about comfort from last night,
man,
right?
And Sunday is going to be a thing. Chris is out in Champaign. Hey, Chris, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm not big on patience. I'm like Spiegel. And I'm guessing that Ben Johnson's in the same vein, so... I called last year about this same time, and I personally think that Caleb Williams is a bust. Now, I have a see in the future a little bit. I have the Bears going 5-12, Ben Johnson drafting a quarterback, and Williams not being with the Bears or signing a fifth-year option. I just wonder what you guys' thoughts are on that.
I'm not ready to project out three more seasons. Like I'm not ready to do that.
I'm also not ready to declare him a bust.
I think bust is actually off the table, but that's just me. I don't think he's a bust. I think he might not live to his potential. And depending on what your definition of bust is.
Yeah, bust and a lemon are different, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
Because a lemon, you can drive on a lemon.
For a little while.
Yeah, I think you can. I think that's the whole thing about a lemon. It's like, oh, man, I drove it off the lot. Look at me. I'm driving around. I'm getting places. And then the lemon, like, this breaks down and that breaks down. And you realize, ooh, just wasn't built that well.
But it's also so weird, and we're judging a lot of this on one game. But let's use another Bears example. You saw a great version of Justin Fields on Sunday.
You really did.
They didn't win the game, but you saw maybe the best version of him as runner slash passer in that game against the Steelers on Sunday. And you start looking around, you see guys that end up growing into the job. Is Ben the right guy to teach him? I think yes.
I think yes too, which is why I will come back around to patience.
Come on back.
Right now I'm living in Worrytown. I've moved in.
I told you that we had a place for you.
Yeah,
but
you saved me a place, and I just went ahead. Frankly, here's what you didn't know. Beginning last night, I've just been staying in Worrytown, not paying rent. I've been squatting in Worrytown.
Oh, we know. We're gonna get the sheriff to get you on up out of there.
Just curiously, how is the housing market there in Worrytown?
It's booming.
Oh, Alex, interesting.
It is. The Wi-Fi, like the Wi-Fi, it's booming.
This is the mad talk.
All right.
Yeah, right now in Worrytown, our realtors are doing great. My guy Brad is out there selling. He is selling, getting people to Worrytown. Now, here's the thing. Our sister suburb.
Concernville?
No, Patience.
Oh, Patience.
Patience, Illinois. They've seen a lot of people move. That's where we've seen the most people move from.
Right.
From Patience to Worrytown.
Some people moved into Patience we didn't really like.
I will tell you, though.
You know what I mean? They weren't my kind of people.
You can get a great deal in Patience, Illinois right now.
Oh, you can.
You can get a great deal. Now, here's
what are you doing? You're the mayor of Worrytown.
Here's a little secret.
You're getting a piece of everything in Patience,
here's
too.
Here's a little secret.
He's taking off both sides of the apple.
I have a condo in Patience, Illinois.
Of course you do. Sometimes you want to be downtown.
Yeah, sometimes you want to hang out there. Yeah. My house is in Worrytown.
Right, but
just on general practice.
Patience is on the lakefront. It's beautiful out there.
And it's nice to go out there sometimes.
Look, I'm squatting in Worrytown.
See some sunrises.
I get it. I'm squatting in Worrytown. You can't kick me out. You can't. Like, the laws actually protect me as a squatter in far more ways than you'd ever realize.
Not after what Governor Pritzker did. We're going to get you on up out of here.
Go ahead. You try. I'll still be here 2 months from now.
But what happens to your timeshare?
if Chuck McDowell would call folks.
I call Chuck McDowell, and then he gets us up out of it.
If you want to get rid of your timeshare, I'm like, why would I want to get rid of my timeshare?
No, he's been good for you. Oh, Lord. Kyle is out in LaGrange. Are you JJ's uncle or something, Kyle?
No, I am not.
Okay.
But I want to get you all to move away from Worryville and come over to Patience City and just try this with me.
Okay.
This is a whole new system that's in place. New coach. We needed a new coach. New O-line, we needed a new O-line. Give these guys some time to gel together. And, you know, it's not going to happen instantly. They'll probably lose next week against the Lions, too. But then after that, we get the Cowboys and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I can very easily see this team being 2-2 4 weeks in, you know. So I'm just saying, let's give these guys some time. If you ever watch Eli and Peyton talk about it, you can actually see Peyton was breaking it down. Caleb was going through his reads, moving his legs with his eyes. And last season, we won our home opener, but that was one ugly-looking win.
Thank you for the call, and thank you for reaching us from your home there in Patience. And I may come visit. I may come visit. But as of right now, I'm squatting in Worrytown. We will hear some of Peyton and Eli talking about Caleb a little bit later on from the Manning cast last night.
It's nice when they break down your quarterback, because there were a bunch of times like we were waiting for them.
They just skipped
with
the Bears.
With Justin. And yeah. It was like, no, I want to hear what they say. And they wouldn't take those games. But they took this one because it was the first one of the season. More of your phone calls, 312-644-6767. That's another way that you can text us, by the way. How are you feeling? there was a level of hype and party that was going on until about halftime, and then sadness turned into anger, and here we are. We'll talk more about the Bears next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Yeah, moments ago, our Laura Rutledge caught up with Caleb as we send you down to the field for a performance above. It's brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Laura.
Caleb, you have a new coach, a revamped O-line, and more playmakers. What are you most excited about tonight?
I think just being able to get out here and get out here with these guys that, you know, we've been putting in such hard work, and just be able to get out here and show it off.
What has Ben Johnson told you to focus on tonight?
Just be myself. And when it comes time to be Superman, but other than that, just play point guard until then.
Yeah, that's the thing, that we know that Superman is in there, but you've got to live your life as Clark Kent for a little while.
Point guard. Point guard's got to pull that trigger and let that pass go. It's fun to be Superman, though, Lawrence. It's a little fun. If you wait just like an extra split second, then you gotta be Superman. Oh, look at me, Coach. I had to do that.
Yeah.
Didn't you see it work out great, Coach? Right. Come on, where's my high five? You saw that.
Yeah, I worry about that. He spent a lot of time in his career being the most special player on the field, doing stuff that other people can't do. Just do the regular stuff.
You get credit when DJ Moore runs for 30 yards after the catch for a touchdown.
You damn right you do.
You get the stats when Luther Burden makes the big play after you just dropped it to him.
Who is this Luther Burden that you speak of?
Because 18 snaps last night for Luther Burden.
I remember seeing him in training camp and in preseason games and being very impressed, and then not seeing him really at all last night.
Just checking the snap count on the draft picks. Second-round draft pick, Ozzie Trapillo, let's see, zero. Second-round draft pick, Shamar Turner, zero. Second-round draft pick, Luther Burden, did have 18 snaps taken.
It's there. Not a lot for guys that you drafted in the second round who are supposed to be starters. That's what their role is.
Colston Loveland, 38 snaps.
Cole Kmet, 60. He had a good game without catching the ball, really, I thought. I thought both the tight ends played pretty well.
Can't wait to talk to JT O'Sullivan tomorrow at 3 o'clock, who is a quarterback who will watch the film and tell us just how open people were or not for Caleb Williams.
Let's go out to Sean. Hey, Sean, you're on The Score.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, I've been concerned with them drafting him ahead of time, and I'll tell you why. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I got to go up head-to-head with them, or we did as a team, and Marcus Freeman's first and second year. And in the first year, it was Al Golden's first year as DC, and he kind of – I don't want to say he went vanilla, but he didn't do anything very exotic. He was still learning the team. And Caleb was able to use his native ability to dominate that game with scrambles and the kind of plays he did last night. The next year, Golden had dialed in the defense and changed the picture, had a lot of pre-snap, post-snap movement, and Caleb was completely confused from whistle to whistle, had three picks, should have had two more. And just like running is native ability, processing and touch are also native ability. They can be taught, they can be improved.
Hold on a second. I'm going to need to work on your vocabulary there, because you might not know this, and I'm not accusing you of anything, Sean, but when you say it native, it doesn't sound great.
Innate ability is the word you want, not native ability.
Yeah, sorry. All right, sorry. It's coaching time. We always talk about native athletic ability, so I apologize.
You guys should stop that. You guys should absolutely stop that. I'm not surprised, though, went to Notre Dame. Boom!
But all right, if we can I'm going to go ahead and grant that it was just a vocabulary issue, and I'm going to move past it and think about the fact that Caleb was confused against a more complex defense. Now, okay, but that's in college, and it happens. But I will say the Notre Dame game did leave a mark on a lot of people in terms of their thoughts on Caleb Williams.
I was one of those people.
Chris Tannehill was another.
Yeah, we started calling him Caleb Cutler in the other show's group chat after that game.
That was me, and I believe.
No, it was me. But it
I
was
think it was me.
It was one of those things where we were the first show to like start talking about Caleb and like, you know, drilling down on his games. And we're like, oh, this Notre Dame game, this is a big test for this kid who's going to be the number one pick. And the Bears hadn't even gotten that pick yet.
No.
The Notre Dame game, the Utah game from that year that wasn't great. Like, there's a lot of them where you go, huh, is there something here? Is there a way that he could be had? But that's part of the problem, too.
It's all right. It's all right. Bo Nix made the playoffs, and J.J. McCarthy outplayed him last night. Drake May outplayed him last year head-to-head. Jaden Daniels made it to the NFC Championship game.
He outplayed Jordan Love, though, at the end of the season.
And he did. And Michael Penix was the quarterback that Kurt Warner singled out yesterday when we asked him for a quarterback that he was impressed with. It was Michael Penix's job there at Atlanta. So those are all the guys that went after Caleb. It's okay.
So, like, we need 1 minute here for this. Breaking news here on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Kyle Tucker to the IL.
Retroactive to the 6th of September.
Because he hasn't played in like a week.
4 days. Has not played. Moises Ballesteros called up to the bigs by the Cubs. So now they've got Ballesteros along with Owen Casey. They lost last night to Atlanta. Can't score.
The shot clock's running out.
Right now, they're 7.5 games back of the Brewers with, what, 18 to play?
Yeah, that's not happening.
They are 2 games up on the Padres, still in the lead for the first wild card.
You want to host those games.
You really do. And the Mets are trailing after that. The Giants just 3 games back of the Mets for the final wild card.
That is our Cubs coverage for today until we go to Cubs broadcast at about 5:40
Craig
today.
Council is on the show tomorrow.
I got Bears questions for him, and he better have answers.
You, sir, are quite something.
It is football season, and I'm going to tell Craig that.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, you know it's football season, right? And he's going to be like, well, yeah,
Brad,
it is.
Brad Keller likely to get a save the next time the Cubs need one.
All right, that's enough of you.
Never enough.
You can save that for inside the locker room.
I'm doing a special hit and run on Saturday afternoon, the 20th of September.
Hey, now.
Dump him.
It's from 2 to 5 in the afternoon before Cubs and Reds.
Yeah, we don't need that tease for 12 days from now.
It's a 12-day tease. Next time I get to live in the full bloom of my baseball romanticism.
No, tomorrow we can get into a little bit, but just a little.
It's okay. Hey, man, I understand. The Bears are great. They deserve this kind of focus. They're really good.
We are going to focus in on some stuff with them. Yesterday, I mean, we spent a lot of time about Caleb. There's a lot of bad, and we need to discuss it all, and we will next here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.